This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey everybody, this is Phil Town.
And this is Danielle Town.
And there's my daughter on Zoom. It's so good to see you. Welcome to the Invested Podcast, everybody. We are deeply involved in long-term investing.
Indeed.
With a view that says that according to Warren Buffett, in my humble opinion, if it is an asset that does not produce cash flow, it is not an investment.
Well, you know, you've never put it quite so succinctly, and I actually like that. Yeah. A short sentence focused on cash flow. Yeah, I can get behind that.
We just blew up about a billion Bitcoin people right there. Just blew them right up.
Are you kidding me? They could care less what your fancy, succinct sentence.
Not even listening to this podcast. But we also blew up gold.
Some guy said that investing requires cash flow. Well, I'll show him with my crypto millions.
Yeah, I've got my crypto millions. See, your crypto yacht. You don't have a crypto yacht. Well, okay, so we're not into making money really fast. I mean, we just think that if you do that, you got lucky. It's going to Las Vegas and you rolled the dice and you hit it. And congratulations. Have fun.
Totally.
Don't put it back on the table. Enjoy it. Keep your FU money, right? And you know, find something productive to do. Not that we're all that productive, I will confess. You know, buying public stocks does support the market, which does support the valuation of businesses, which then in turn results in the more likelihood that they can get loans or go to the market for capital. So there's a whole reason to do it, but we're involved in a secondary market, actually.
You think that that's unproductive?
Well, it's a secondary market, so the companies we buy don't get the money directly, right? Unless you happen to buy their IPO or some other offering, which we don't really have access to. So, yeah, there is an argument that we're not productive in the sense that you would be if you were to do venture capital or mezzanine financing or bank loans even, that those are part of the capital requirement for a business to grow. And that really what the public markets do is set the value or set the price for those things. And and therefore is at least one level removed from direct productivity.
Yeah.
I guess. But on the other hand, it's for the little guy, what's the choice? You're not going to be a venture capitalist, you know, you're not going to do angel capital, you're not a multimillionaire.
No, but here's where I disagree that it's one level removed. Yes, I mean, of course, technically it is. However, if the level is companies wanting to raise capital by taking their company public and thus raising a huge amount of money from said secondary market, then that's direct. Like that's a huge component to the way that companies grow.
And well, you're right. But that initial public offering is
initial public offering, yes, that's direct. And then without the promise of the future gains in the market over the next, let's imagine 50 years for X company, they would not do the IPO in the first place.
Oh, you're so right. Okay.
So therefore,
very good argument.
By the transitive property, we are amazing supporters of
Is that actually the real name of that? It's been a long time since I took a logic class.
I made that up, but I think it's probably really close.
That's very good. Look that up. But I'm impressed. That's an absolutely excellent argument that without the secondary markets, there wouldn't be a primary market because no one is going to buy the stock in the public markets unless there's a market afterwards.
Exactly. I also think that public markets don't, now we're getting into like theory and policy, but just live with me for a second. I also think that public markets are a democratizing entity, democratizing factor that does not get the credit that it deserves. If you look at countries in which there is no major public market to speak of, what you see is that the wealth tends to be concentrated amongst that top 1% wealthy families, and it stays there because that's who they have to sell to. If somebody wants to sell their business or raise money for their business, they've got to look at their like country club friends because there's nobody else, or their, you know, not so kosher friends, shall we say. And you get the money somehow, right? But when you have a very well regulated, trustworthy public market in which people like me who have no direct access to what's actually happening within a company can rely on the documents presented to me, that's incredible, both for me and for the company to raise money and for access for the little guy.
Extremely, I think they're well said.
Hugely important.
Extremely well said. I take you. It all back. We're very important.
We're very important.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
100%.
All right.
Well, I'm glad
I didn't
you said
know that.
That
I was going to have to defend our importance, but I'm glad I did. And
also, by the way, we're important because we reflect in the market price the quality of the company, the quality of its cash flow. In other words, it's something you can look at as a banker might, or as maybe someone who's interested in acquiring the whole business. They'd look at that business and just go, well, you know, the stock price is falling, and let's look for reasons why. It might not just be some random market fluctuation. It might be because of some actual events going on in the company that are making it less valuable over time, which takes us to a company I thought I'd like to talk about a little bit today.
Oh, all right. News to me. Go for
it. Which is I thought you might be interested in this. It's the makeup company, Ulta.
Ah,
we invested in Ulta a while back when it was, you know, I might have this slightly wrong because it's been years, but I think roughly when it was at 100 or something like that, and it doubled over to 200. And then I did my classic mistake and got out thinking that I had a pretty good bead on the value of the business at being, you know, around 200, 250. And of course it went up to like 500, which is what they seem to do if I get out of them, based on the emotional rule of investing, which says if I sell, it will go up. And yes, I wrote about that in rule number one. It's just so true. So, but now it's coming down. And I'm curious what you think about that, because I don't use a lot of makeup. Not that it's a gender thing, but certainly it's, I'm an old guy, so I probably should use a lot of makeup. I probably have plenty of reason to use a lot of makeup, but I don't.
That reminds me of the time that you did some TV show in New York, and I was living in New York, and we were flying somewhere, and I went and picked you up, I think, from the studio, and then we went straight to the airport. Do you remember this? And we were walking through the airport, and I looked at you, and I was like, what? You just look weird. And I sort of was like staring at you, at your skin, and at like your profile, because we were walking next to each other.
Yeah.
And then I realized that you had makeup on, because you had forgotten to take it off after the taping.
Right? We ran out of there to get to a plane.
Like, I don't know why that stuck in my brain, but it was the weirdest, like looking at your father, but like his skin is like plastic and alien-ish. It was so weird looking.
And well, the makeup they
I
do
realized,
for television,
yeah, there's some
is very heavy-handed.
It was very heavy.
Often they just spray it on.
Well, especially with men, because it doesn't really matter. You just need to look so like, you know, better than yourself. So you might as well
want,
just spray it on.
They don't want you to glisten, you know.
So yeah.
Take all the dark lines out and don't glisten, and you got it.
So you
but
dashed
yeah,
in the
that
bathroom
remember
and
that.
Wiped
I remember
it
that. Yeah, I'm like, holy smokes! I looked in the mirror. It's just it looks like pancake on you or something.
Yeah,
it does look really strange.
Well, so
I've had that same experience with a friend of mine who danced for the New York City Ballet. And I saw her backstage coming off stage.
Stage
and
makeups.
Talk about pancake.
So intense, yeah.
Huge, big, everything will look like clown face.
It is, because you got to see it from the back row.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's neither here nor there, except it's part of the makeup story, I suppose.
No, it just makes me laugh whenever I think about makeup on you. So,
but I'm curious what you think about this makeup company, which you guys all probably know Ulta. They have retail stores, and they have quite a range of makeup that's there. And sometimes when we do a workshop, one of my analysts, Austin Bowen, will tell the story of when I had burned my arm and I was on Dilaudid for the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we were researching Ulta, and I thought it'd just be a great idea while on this drug for Austin to take me down to the Ulta store to do some analysis. And so we went.
I've never heard about that.
Oh, man. We went down there. And, you know, when you're on like a really smooth painkiller like Dilaudid, you don't really know how looped out you are, right? I mean, you just note it. And anyway,
you saying that you thought that you were fine?
Well, fairly fine.
Like you were covering well.
Yeah, I thought, the arm didn't hurt, so I'm okay.
Okay, so you were not aware that you were like loopy on
really
pain meds.
Flip and looped. No.
Okay.
No. So Melissa goes, she told Austin to watch out, for me when we go down there. So we get down to the store, and Austin immediately dives into talking to the manager who's there, and they wander off. And a makeup person was there, and I started talking to them, and I was fascinated by how much they know and how mm-hmm. delighted they are to share what they know. I really like that about it. And we were talking about a whole bunch of stuff I don't know anything about. So it was sort of fun for the salesperson. And then
I'm glad she was having fun.
It was he, actually.
I'm glad he was having fun.
Yep. He was having a good time. And so I said, well, show me the rest of the place. They take me back, and there's a salon back there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, would you like to, have some color put in your hair?
Oh, like temporary?
No.
Please say temporary.
No.
Okay.
Permanent color. And I said, sure. Why not? So I sit down in the chair. They give me a little shampoo, and they cut my hair, and then they colored it.
What color?
Black or brown or something.
Wait, you went from gray to black?
Oh, yeah.
Like?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I cannot imagine this.
Oh, yeah. And so
they
do it all. And Austin comes back and finds me already in the chair with already all this stuff on. So when we leave, he knows that Melissa is going to kill him when we come home. Yeah, I came home 20 years younger.
Oh, God.
It was pretty, pretty crazy. So anyway,
I didn't see you with your hair like this. So did you change somehow, like dye it back or something? What happened?
Well, I cut it off quickly.
Oh, is that why? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I got it real short, real fast. And it grew out quickly. So
that's crazy.
Anyway, that was the trip to Ulta. So,
I have no doubt that you told the guy that you really wished that you had your old color of hair back. I'm sure he was doing exactly what you asked
for. We had a pretty intimate conversation about makeup and hair color, and he was totally into it.
He was like, I am going to help you feel better about yourself.
I'm so going to do that. And I'm like, definitely. I want to feel great about myself and take years off. He's like, you can take years off. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take off some years.
Absolutely.
And boom, I'm in the chair getting black hair.
I love it. Take some years off, see what happens. Maybe it'll work. Who knows?
Overall, I was fairly impressed with Ulta's hands-on sales process.
I agree. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
So I bought the company and loved being in it, and it was great. And then the CEO decided to resign, Mary Dillon, and she is, I think, brilliant. And the guy that she brought on to take over from her was coming out of the financial side of the company, a CFO. And I have never been a big fan of CFO CEOs. They mm-hmm. tend to be very into the numbers working right, which I don't think is the right way to run a business. Not if you want to be around for 20 years. Unfortunately, they don't have to worry about being around for 20 years. They want to be around for five and make it look good during the whole five. And the CFO CEO now. And I think that's, in my view, I think that's kind of what's happening with Ulta. I mean, we sort of dug into it and don't see, I mean, this guy really shocked the stock when he came out and said, you know, we're probably going to grow at about half the rate you all are expecting.
Just happen recently?
Yeah, not too long ago.
Okay.
And so we haven't gone back into it, and I kept looking for an opportunity. And obviously, you see a big price drop, it tends to make you think in terms of, well, maybe there's an opportunity.
Yeah, I have to say, I have not looked at Ulta, but I like that he's telling the truth like that.
If
that
is,
and that might not even be the truth. It might be like, we're not going to grow at all, or we're going to grow in very tiny amounts or something. But
or
at
we're
least
sandbagging
to, give,
to make me look good. Or you know?
But at least to give some bad news is, in my opinion, kind of always a good sign, weirdly.
Yeah, I guess. But I'm just thinking the real guts of the business, Mary Dillon left and went to Foot Locker, and I bet she wishes she could come back. Foot Locker's not Ulta in any way, shape, or form. And meanwhile, this thing is sort of heading down. And I'm just really curious what you think. I mean, do you think that the stock is heading down because the CEO is weak and therefore it should be of interest to us because we want to have a good CEO, what we really want is a huge moat. And the company moat will overcome the bad CEO. They'll get a new CEO and everything will rock. And so you buy in. But what if it's not that? What if there's more going on here with the world of makeup? That's what I wanted to check in with you about. What do you think?
Well, so we were talking about this before we started recording because we wanted to talk about the weather today. The weather meaning like all the info around a company that you're interested in, which we left off quite a bit of time ago.
A couple of years ago,
right?
Seems like.
It probably was last year. And I had seen something like randomly about how Ulta's stock price had dropped or Ulta wasn't doing as well anymore. And I just said, that doesn't surprise me at all as somebody who very weather-like follows makeup and skincare and those companies just as a consumer. And I've been aware for probably at least 6 months, maybe a year, that makeup and skincare companies did not seem to be doing that well overall, just because, and everybody's going to join me on this, with whatever area you tend to buy things from, I've been getting sales emails like crazy for at least 6 months at times when there really shouldn't be sales. So like the Black Friday sales were crazy. They were really good last year. And I thought, okay, there's not going to be another sale for a while. Like they've kind of burned themselves out. No, there were immediately sales like at the end of January. And then there was a February sale. And then there was a March sale. And I'm just getting new sales just recently for April, Easter sales and spring break sales and just any possible reason you can think of to have a sale. A lot of brands are putting out sales, and that just tells me that they're not doing so great. Companies that are doing great tend to not put out sales unless it's like a mega sale time.
Right.
So I've been aware of that just as a consumer, but then also I just like makeup and I like skincare, and it's been something that for me, recovering from COVID, it's something that's like really unstressful for me, and it doesn't, this don't take this the wrong way, but it doesn't require much brain power. Like I don't have to concentrate in a way that hurts my brain because it's more artistic and fun and colors and, you know, just a fun expression. So it's something that I've been watching videos on and just, you know, doing fun makeup on myself, and it's just been like a fun thing to do. So I've just gotten into like makeup and skincare companies. Also, my skin was horrific after COVID, like Crypt Keeper level dry, craggy, hideous, sensitive beyond.
Oh,
I couldn't
no.
even put Vaseline on my skin.
Oh,
and anybody who knows about
man.
Skin will know
I didn't
that
know
insane.
That. You didn't tell your father this.
Yeah, I didn't share my skincare problems with your dad. We didn't talk about my skincare. But you will relate to this because you know that I'm crazy. I did not know what to do. And so this was like a year after I first got sick, because when I was first sick, I couldn't have done this. But I got so frustrated because everything I put on my face gave me horrible acne or massive redness. Like I just reacted to everything. And I got so frustrated that I decided I was just going to like isolate ingredients until I could figure out what was torturing me.
Wow.
Because everything I used to use before I got sick no longer worked.
Wow.
So I made a
totally
spreadsheet and I just copy and pasted the ingredients in from various like skincare items that sounded interesting. And then I purchased them and then I tried them. And then I like went through, and when they broke me out, I would look at what was in it and I'd see if it was in the other stuff that broke me out, and discovered that glycols are no good for me. Discovered that petrolatum and any petroleum source thing are no good for me. Fragrance is no good for me. Titanium dioxide tortures my skin. On the other hand, zinc oxide my skin really likes, and various oils my skin likes. So,
well, you're begging me to ask a question.
Tell
Does
me.
Somebody make makeup that has none of the bad stuff and all of the good stuff?
They do. I'm so glad you asked.
Really?
I can
somebody
give you
does.
So many recommendations.
More than one company.
Okay. So I had to
wow.
dig deep into the kinds of things that are not sold in Ulta or Sephora. There are some brands that use good ingredients that are sold there, but I really needed stuff that was like not factory made. So
Wait, slow down. What is the difference if between something that is made out of good stuff but made in a factory for you versus not factory made?
So I'm using kind of general words. For me, and this is true for hardly anyone else, because I don't know if anybody else who's sensitive to glycols. Glycols are these sugar alcohols that bind skincare products in some way that I can't tell you about, but they're used in almost everything. And because they're used as a binder, and I think they're also a preservative, they're in stuff that's sold like on the shelf and that is generally less expensive.
Has to sit there for a while. Yeah,
but so does all skincare. But there is now skincare that you can get that doesn't have preservatives and stuff, and it just goes bad really quickly. But I particularly ended up having to get some very expensive skincare items that would use alternate ingredients rather than the less expensive glycol options. So like people who are into skincare will know, I bought the Augustinus Bader line. So expensive. I bought it on sale.
Augustinus Father?
Bader. He's a German burn scientist.
Augustina Bader.
I really wanted to get his burn cream for you because apparently it's really good, but he confusingly does not sell that out of all of his stupid skincare line. And so basically his shtick is he's this German skincare scientist who started a line that is like, I think the moisturizer is $350. It might be $450. Like, it's just very, very expensive.
Well, and I don't have a clue. Is that like very high end?
It is. Dad, think about it. You're going to spend $450 on a bottle of cream that lasts you 3 months.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. Plus, you got to buy it, all the other. You can't just have cream. You got to have 10 other things.
Does it last 3 months, or is it?
Well,
or is
it, if you use it every day, the amount that you get.
But I mean, does it go bad?
No. It goes bad after like 2 years or something.
Ah, even though it's not preserved.
No, it has preservatives in it. It just doesn't have these glycols that bother me.
So you're okay with some preservatives?
I guess so. I mean, I can't explain it.
But not glycols. Mm-hmm.
This is a scientific process that has some holes in it. So, and by the way, not all of his moisturizers don't have glycols. Only the rich cream. So I bought the rich cream. It's very good. It's very nice. My experience, just so anybody knows, because I know everybody wants to try it, but it's like ridiculous just to try it. I found that it moisturized my skin very nicely, and that's about it. It didn't do any of the fancy things. It did give it this glow, because they always talk about the Botter glow, and it did give that glow. But I think the reason it did that is that it has this sort of sparkly mica type stuff in it. So it's not like an inherent glow. It's put on your face by the cream. So if you don't use the cream for a few days, the glow goes away, which I just think is annoying.
This is so I would not repurchase. I mean, for all the guys who are listening to this,
I know they're fascinated. Remember,
the Botter glow. Okay.
If you buy that for your wife for Christmas, if she's into skincare and she hasn't tried it, she will be excited.
Wow.
But
okay.
Skincare is very personal. So now that I've said that, you probably shouldn't do that without asking her.
Plus, you just signed yourself up, if she really likes it, for $450.
Yeah, they have a subscription program.
Because you can't quit now.
You get 10 or 15% off.
You got her hooked on a $450 every 3 months.
Well, so I'm going to get around to the makeup. So Victoria Beckham became a huge fan of the Augustinus Botter line. And so did like many other celebrities, and that's how it became popular, is that all these celebrities were like, oh, it's the best, it makes my skin so incredible. And I would like to add that I actually love the cleanser, and I still buy the cleanser because it's the only cleanser I've found that actually cleans my face without irritating it. It doesn't remove makeup. You need another thing for that, but I like the cleanser. So, okay. So Victoria Beckham got really into Augustinus Botter, and she like promoted it, and I think they maybe had some sort of deal. And then she came out with her own makeup line after she did kind of a test line with Estee Lauder, I think, which was received incredibly well. And then she came out with her own makeup line after her fashion line essentially failed. So her fashion line, despite being beautiful and really like acclaimed, her stuff is beautiful, failed commercially because she just wasn't selling enough, basically. And so in order to save it, we're going way into the weeds here. In order to save her fashion line, David Beckham famously had to put, I think, $11 million or 11 million pounds into her fashion line. And she had to start some lines that would actually make money. And so to do that, she started her makeup line. Now, she famously is into makeup, so this isn't a huge stretch, but it's kind of funny that it came out of like total failure and bankruptcy. So she started her Victoria Beckham makeup line direct to consumer on the website. And it's just been, it's kind of a slow roll at the beginning, but it's just been a huge success. Massive success. Basically saved her fashion line. She's doing very well now. And I love her makeup. So to answer your question, her makeup, not the only one, but her makeup is one that is particularly attached to using very high quality ingredients. I don't think she has any glycols in her stuff, but maybe she does. I haven't totally checked. But they don't irritate my face. That's the important thing. And she now has an official brand partnership with Augustinus Botter and makes this makeup primer using his very special burn technology. I've tried her makeup primer. also very nice. I like it. I don't think it's worth the price unless you're really into having makeup primer, which I'm just not, but it's nice.
Hey, we're running really into a lot more information about this than I
know.
Thought.
Maybe you're getting a fire hose level of info about makeup and skincare.
It's kind of awesome. But what do you say we stop here and then pick this up? It's a great place to start for next week. And we really figure out, where are we at with Ulta?
Sounds good. Thanks, everybody.
Right. Until then, time to go play. See ya. Hi, guys. Thanks for listening to Invested. If you enjoyed this episode and you want more information or to listen to additional episodes, visit our website at investedpodcast.com. And sign up for my virtual workshop right there. Spots are definitely limited for this event. I'm not kidding. They really are. They sell out very quickly. So everything discussed on this podcast, by the way, is either my opinion or it's Danielle's opinion. And it's really important. It's not to be taken as investing advice because I am not your financial advisor, nor have I considered your personal situation as your fiduciary. So remember that. You're on your own here. This podcast is for your entertainment and education only. And I really hope you enjoyed it.